While you're turning, amen, just a couple of announcements. The nursing home ministry will be meeting, amen, at River Oaks Nursing Home on Simcoe Street. Ronnie P. usually likes his team to show up about 1:45, and so the program starts at 2, and so that's this morning. Also this evening, the Hebrew Baseball League is going to be playing, amen. The ladies and the kids will be playing at Arsenal Park in Broussard, Louisiana. We get started about 5 p.m., and the games are really fun, really competitive, amen, and it's really good. My children was praying this morning in the car. They said, Lord, thank you, Sunday. Thank you we get to go to church, and thank you we get to play softball today, amen. And so I'm excited, amen. And so the ladies and the children, amen, the young adults, children, whatever you want to call them, they played today. And the men, amen, I don't want to say it's the main event, but the men play on Monday, hallelujah. And so I'm excited about that. And so that starts about, 6 o'clock, amen. And so we'll be playing, amen. So that's all the announcements I have. You had anything else? All right, well, let's look at Acts 7 and 15. We're going to get it started, amen. The Bible reads like this. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. Father, and a blessing to the reading and hearing and the exposition of your most holy word. Be with us. Pray that I decrease and you increase. In Jesus' name. Y'all, we've been in the book of Acts going through Stephen's defense, but we have gone deep into Stephen's discussion of the patriarchs. He started talking about Abraham, and we went there. He started talking about Joseph, and we went there. He's talking about Jacob, and we've been talking about Jacob as well. If you remember, Jacob is passing away. He's saying his last words. Amen. He called all his 12 sons to him, and he begins to prophesy on them. Things that's to come. So we've been talking about it. If you remember, we've gone through Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, which we covered last Sunday. Amen. And this Sunday, we'll be covering Joseph. Amen. And if you're a student of the Bible, you'd say, Pastor, there's no tribe of Joseph, huh? Yeah. But it's separated into two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. Say that with me. Ephraim and Manasseh. All right? And so we'll be talking about Joseph here this morning. Now, y'all, Joseph was one of Jacob's favorite sons. All right? The only one that can come close to Joseph as far as being the favorite of Jacob would be Benjamin. All right? The reason Joseph was Jacob's favorite was because he was the child of his most beloved wife. Amen. Joseph was Rachel's firstborn son. And Jacob was head over heels over Rachel, so he was head over heels over Joseph. Huh? Not only that, but Joseph was the most obedient child. Right? He was the most faithful, the most resourceful. He was administrative. He was the most helpful. And any time Jacob wanted to check on his other sons, guess who he would send? Joseph. Go check on them knucklehead boys, see how they're doing. You see? And Joseph would take care of business. He was Jacob's favorite. Not only that, but if you remember, Jacob lost Joseph for a moment. When his brothers had set him up, threw him in a pit, amen, Jacob lost him. Jacob was like, my son is dead. If anybody know anything about love, amen, separation, distance, space only make love grow fonder. The Bible says hope deferred make the heart sick. You see? And so when Jacob and Joseph were separated, amen, it only made Jacob love him more. And then he returned unexpectedly as though it were from the grave. Jacob was just head over heels once again. What else, Pastor? Well, when the famine hit, guess who saved Jacob and the rest of his sons? Joseph. Joseph came and brought him, hallelujah, gave him the land of Goshen, gave him something to eat. It was his daddy's favorite. Why else? Well, when Jacob went to Egypt, when he get there, guess who's the ruler in Egypt? Who? Joseph. Time and time again, Joseph just showing up and showing out. Jacob was head over heels. But now it's time in our Bible for Jacob to bless one of his favorite sons. And we're going to see Jacob go off, y'all. Jacob about to run out of breath right here. He about to dig blessings from places he don't even have. He just going to say everything. He's going to just try to bless him in every way he can. Just to give you an idea, Naphtali, when Jacob blessed Joseph, Naphtali was blessed with one verse of blessings. One verse. Joseph is blessed with five verses. Right? Five verses. Just full of blessings. The only tribe that can come close with getting the amount of blessings that Joseph got was Judah. Come on, give God some glory for that. Amen? Yes. All right, so here we go. Let's look at Jacob's promises, Jacob's prophetic pronouncements on Joseph. Now, to do that, if you have your Bible, turn to Genesis 49. If not, it's cool. I'm going to put it on the screen for you. Genesis 49. Genesis 49 and 22 is where Jacob begins to prophesy on Joseph. Joseph's prophecy can be separated into two categories. He's going to talk about what was and what's to come. What was and what's to come. He's going to talk about what Joseph been through, and he's going to talk about what the tribe of Joseph, or Manasseh and Ephraim, what they're going to receive in the future. To give you a little roadmap of what I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to talk about point number one, a fruitful bough. Point number two, the archers. Point number three, made strong. Point number four, blessings of the deep. Let's start off with point number one, a fruitful bough. We get that from Genesis 49 and 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Right? Now, we don't use that terminology of bough. Right? Especially Hebrews, we don't say bough. You know, go grab a fruit off of that bough. We don't say that. All right? We normally say tree, branch, vine. And that's what the Hebrew word for bough is getting at. He's saying he's a fruitful bough. He's a fruitful branch of a tree. All right? And a bough is not just a branch, but it's a main branch of a tree. And so we have to look at the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob is saying that Joseph is going to be a main branch in this tree of Israel. It's going to be a main branch, amen. And if we had to look at a map of the tribes of Israel, the land that was disseminated and passed out, you'll see that Joseph probably received most of the land of the promised land. Manasseh has land along the coast. Manasseh is given land along the Golan Heights. And Ephraim is given land, hallelujah, underneath. And the land that they receive is blessed land. In fact, if you look at the news, they still fighting over the land of the Golan Heights right now. Why? Because they're so prosperous in that land. And we'll talk about the blessings of the deep here in a second. But Joseph is a main branch of Israel. That's what he's saying. All right? Not just a main branch, but he says a fruitful bough, a fruitful. That word fruitful is very important. And I'm going to give you a few vocabulary words, amen, to describe the Hebrew here for fruitful. When he says fruitful, he means that Joseph and that tribe, Brother Sam, would be abounding and abundant. Huh? They just wouldn't produce a little bit. They'd produce more than enough. That word fruitful means blooming and blossoming. That word fruitful means flourishing and fertile. That word fruitful means productive, profitable, and prolific. Oh, I think somebody hearing me up in here. That word fruitful means reproductive and rich. All of those words describe what God is trying to convey while he's talking about Joseph. And if there was one word in our English vernacular that would sum all of that up, what God is saying when he calls Jacob a fruitful branch, he's saying that Jacob, I mean, when he describes Joseph as a fruitful branch, he's saying that Joseph is going to be successful in every single thing that he does. Come on, give God some glory for that. Amen? All right? Come on, look up to the heavens and say, God, make me fruitful. Right? And that's what that's all about. He's saying Joseph is a fruitful branch. Joseph is going to be successful in every single thing he does. Let me tell you, as a pastor, that's my prayer. I want you to be fruitful. Right? Where I want you to be fruitful at is, number one, in the spiritual. I want you to be fruitful in your relationship with God and in your faith. Right? I want you to produce or bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, the patience, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control. I want you to walk in that. I want you to walk in the Spirit. I want that. Right? But some churches stop with the spiritual. They just want you to be a good believer, a good Christian, and that's it. But we in a time, amen, especially in this current dispensation, where God wants more from you than just your soul prosper. Watch me now. John wrote in 3 John, he says, hallelujah, I wish above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. That's my prayer for you. Yes, primarily I want you to do good in the spirit with your relationship with God and your relationship with your fellow man. But guess what else? I want you to be successful in everything you do, believer. Everything you touch, Hebrew. Everything you look at, that it would blossom in your hands. Everything. I don't care if you're scrambling eggs. I want your eggs to be the best eggs. People just, them eggs good. Oh, sausage, bon, s'il vous plaît. Them eggs are delicious. Whatever you do, I want you to be fruitful, because that's how Joseph was. Not only whatever you do, but whatever you go. Wherever you go. I want you to be fruitful wherever you are in life. You see what I'm saying? There's an old saying that you gotta bloom where you plant. Alright? See, some of us, amen, we waiting, hallelujah, to be fruitful. Alright? We saying, oh God, when I get here, that's when I'm gonna be fruitful. That's the wrong idea. It's the wrong mentality. Your mentality should be like Joseph. I'm gonna be fruitful and successful no matter where I'm at in life, no matter where I am. Amen. Look at his life. Joseph was fruitful in slavery, in prison, and also in the palace. Anybody hear me up here? This is what God wants out of you, believer. This is what God wants out of you, Hebrew. And this is what your pastor wants out of you. Don't wait for another season to be fruitful. Don't wait for another job to be fruitful. Don't wait for another marriage or your grandkids. No, be fruitful and successful right now. Blossom where you're planted. All right? I have in my notes, listen. You're waiting for your dream job to blossom. And God is holding your dream job until you blossom. Did you catch that? God, I ain't going to put 100% until I get to here. And God is saying, I'm not going to get you to here until you give me 100%. All right? You say, Pastor, that's prophetic, but is that biblical? Oh, yeah. He says only after you're faithful in little that God makes you faithful in much. All right? And so that's the economy of the kingdom. That's the way it goes. And so Joseph exemplified that. He was fruitful. He was abundant. He was successful. No matter where he was, no matter what he was doing. And that's what we want out of you. Amen. Now it's important, amen, if you're going to be successful in life, not only in the spiritual, supernatural, but in the physical. Amen. Finances, jobs, amen. Innovation, amen. Hallelujah. That's the season we're coming in, amen. Hallelujah. Everybody else is going down, hallelujah. But we being restored and we coming up, amen. So we got to understand where we are, amen. And so God is going to expect us to get back to this fruitfulness, this productivity, this abundance, amen. So I want to share with you how it's done in this first point, all right. If you look at 49 and 22, amen, Joseph is a fruitful bow, even a fruitful bow by a well. Here's the secret. If you're going to be successful, successful, you got to make sure that you bow well. All right? He's a branch. He's part of a tree. And trees can't grow without water. All right? All right? You got to understand, if you picture Joseph as a tree, amen, Joseph is planted here, but he got his foot in a well. All right? Sometimes plants will, hallelujah, grow right here, but they got a root running all the way down over here that's getting them the nourishment that they need to be successful in this spot right here. Right? You got to have your foot in a well. A foot in a well. Right? That's what you're talking about here. Listen, I'm going to show you. Turn to Psalm 1:1 for a second. Psalm 1:1. All right, I'm about to show you how to be successful. Everything you do in life. Amen. While everybody else going down, you grab hold of this. Amen. Everybody else falling off, you grab hold of this. Everybody else going through economic distress and economic problems, if you grab hold of this, hey God, you won't fail, you won't falter. Amen. God's going to bless you. All right? If you look at chapter 1, verse 3, I'm going to do it different. I'm going to go to verse 3 first. I'm going to show you where this applies to what we're talking about. Joseph is a tree, a branch, right? He has his foot in the well. And God says in verse 3, if the man of God do what God said in verse 1 and 2, this is what God's going to do for him or for her. He shall be like a tree planted where? Planted by the rivers of what? Of water. If you do what God said, you could be like Joseph, a tree with his foot in the well. You could be like Joseph, huh? The Bible says, do what? That bringeth forth his fruit in what? In his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And here it is, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Shall prosper. This is what we want to do. Huh, Randy? That whatever we do, prosper. This is where Joseph was. This is where Joshua was. Whatever we do, prosper. Successful. Abundant, fruitful, productive, abounding, fertile, flourishing, blossoming, bloom. How do we get there? Go to verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 1. Right? Psalm 1 starts off. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's awesome. Because God is telling you, for you to prosper, for you to be fruitful in everything you do in life, there's some things you got to stay away from. All right? All right? All right? He's going to show you what you have to do. Amen. But he's telling you, in order to do this, in order to get this, hallelujah, there's a negative side of it as well. You're going to have to abstain from some things. And for that matter, some people. All right? So before he tell you what you got to do, he's going to tell you what you shouldn't be doing. All right? Because the man that's blessed, he's blessed is the man that what? That walketh not in the counsel. Now watch this. This psalm is so ingenious, it has to come from the Spirit of God. The way that is written in its poetic composition is just amazing. All right? It's what's called a graduated psalm, meaning that it's going somewhere. All right? Let me give you an example. Walk it, stand it, sit it. Walk it, stand it, sit it. It's graduated. It's gone from something that's bad to something that's worse. See, because you shouldn't be hanging around with the wrong people, but what's going to happen if you keep hanging around the wrong people, amen, the devil's going to slow you down. You're going to find yourself walking with them. Then you're going to find yourself standing with them. Then you're going to find yourself sitting with them, amen? And you won't be blessed. The idea is to stay away from them. Because they slow down your progress, they slow down your prosperity, and you're not going to be blessed if you be around them type of people. Anybody with me so far? Well, hang around with the right people. Well, hang around with the people of God. Amen? That's what you want to try to be around. Why? Because I want to prosper in everything I do. I won't prosper if I'm hanging around the wrong people. So watch the graduation of this psalm again. Not only walk it, stand it, sit it, but look at here. Look at here. It says, counsel, weigh, First, I'm listening to counsel. All right? Then he say, I'm in the way. Amen. So first I'm listening to them. Now I'm following their ways. Oh, did you catch that? Because that's how it starts. I listen to them. Then I begin to follow their ways because evil communication corrupts good manners. And then I sit in their assembly. What this means is, amen, I become a part of their congregation. Don't you know the devil got a church too? I become a part of their congregation. I become a disciple of them, a student of them. If you keep hanging around the wrong people, the first thing that happens is they begin to counsel you. Oh, girl, you shouldn't be taking that from that man. You know? Now, she unsaved and you saved. What you doing listening to her? She ain't got the Spirit of God in her. Or that man, oh, man, look, your wife will never know, man. Let's just come ride with me over here for a second. We're going to stop here to this barbecue, and then they're breaking out the beer, breaking out the bud and the other buds, and everything going. But what happened? Well, you see, I'm with the wrong people, and so I'm just listening to them. And as long as I keep listening to the unsaved, it begins to wear me down. Now I'm listening to their counsel. Now I'm walking in their ways. Now I'm a disciple of them. I'm sitting in their assembly. You see the graduated effect of the song? God is telling you, believer, Hebrew, if you want to be blessed, there's some people you got to stay away from. You can't get caught on this slippery slope of them bumping their gums in your ear. Now watch this. Another graduated effect. He says, the counsel of the who? Ungodly. In the way of sinners. And the seed of who? The scornful. Graduated again. Watch this. Ungodly right here is just a Hebrew word of somebody who don't know God. It's just somebody who don't know God. They got some good people in the world that's unsaved and they just don't know God. All right? A lot of times what the church do, the church hang around good people. But they lost. All right? You got a best friend. She's a good person. I understand that. But how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Yeah, I know they good, but they're not godly. And there's a complete difference between that. All right? So he's saying that I'll associate with them, get a gospel to them, and they might be a good person, but you're not a believer. So that limits our relationship. I'm not going to stand in your counsel. That's the ungodly. The second phase is sinners. All right? And as people, amen, they're not saved, but they habitual offenders of the law of God. We all got friends like that. Amen. That's the ones that do wrong, and they know they're doing wrong, and they don't mind doing wrong, and they just habitually doing wrong. God's saying, if you want to be blessed, don't hang with them. Don't hang with them. Because what the devil going to do, he's going to get you laughing at their foolishness on first. Oh, boy, you're doing that again on your wife? He's going to get you laughing first. And you're going to laugh your way into picking up their ways. And then he move up. He say the scorners. Pastor, what's a scorner? That's a mocker of the Most High. Somebody that not only they not saved, they sin, but they like to clown God. They deny his existence. They believe in evolution instead of the creation. They say, hallelujah, man could be with man and woman could be with woman. They don't care about the Most High. They blaspheme his name. And the psalm is telling us here, believer, if you want to be blessed, you can't be around these categories of people and expect God to bless you. You can't be yoked up. You can't be yoked up with this. That's not the way to be fruitful. Because every time you try to be fruitful in your life and you got these people around you, they're going to choke up, hallelujah, the water that's trying to make you fruitful. They're going to choke you up. I see a few people clapping. It's good. It's good. I got a word for you. Everybody can't go with you. Come on, tell your neighbor. Everybody can't go with you now. They can't go with you. Can't go with you. How do I prosper like Joseph? I got to get some people out of my life. Got to get some people out of my ear. Got to stop following certain people. I can't be a disciple and a fan of certain people. Ooh. Who are you a fan of? See, because the church too worldly today. The same people the world want to autograph from, you want to autograph from too. The same people the world watching on TV, you watching on TV too. And so it don't matter if she's scornful. It don't matter if she's a mock of God. Don't matter if she's throwing up 666 as Illuminati signs on her album. Don't matter if they dressing in all black. Don't matter if they rapping Luciferian things. Don't matter that. You still a fan. You still a disciple. You still sitting in the seat of the scornful. God's saying, listen to me now, believer. You ain't gonna never be blessed like that. We got enough Christian hip-hop, enough Christian R&B. We got enough Christian things for you to look at and fill your life up with that. You ain't got to go Jay-Z, and you ain't got to go Beyonce, and you ain't got to go this and that. You don't have to do that because you worshiping people. Hey, God, that's scornful to the Most High God. Let me get in your ear for a second because I know it's a hard saying, but let's flip the script. What if you were God? And you got a people that you providing everything for. When they wake up in the morning, it's you that's opening up their eyes. Eyes open up. When they breathe, it's you getting them lungs to inhale and exhale. And they breathe your air with the correct amount of oxygen and everything else that's in it. When they drink, they drink in your water. Got the hydrogen and the oxygen. When they eat, hey, God, it's because you done caused the rain to fall on the earth, produce a product. Hallelujah. You feeding them. You clothe them. They wearing animal skins that you done prepared. Amen. You give them everything. The talents that they have. They can throw a ball. They can catch it. They can hit. Amen. Because you gave it to them. Everything that's good come from the Most High God. You gave them all that. Now, just imagine if you God and you doing all that for them. They got some people that hate you. They got some people that hate you. Sin against your will on earth. Convince people to do things that they shouldn't be doing. Oppose you. Clown you. Clown your church. Clown religion. Clown Jesus. And your people you giving everything to. Huh? Leave you and go listen and go get entertained. And go sit at the feet, go wave and go worship these people that's speaking against you. How would you feel? How would you feel if you was God, if you was giving somebody everything and they go run to your enemy? Are you feeling me now? That's why God says you're either for me or you're against me. You're either gathering with me or you're scattering abroad. That's why God says in his word, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't have two masters. You got to choose which side you're on. And I'm here to draw the line. I'm here to draw the line. Who is on the Lord's side this morning? You see? And when you're on the Lord's side, there's some people you don't hang with, some things you don't do. Hallelujah. Why? Because you want to be blessed in this life. And God can't bless no mess. He can't bless you when you're riding the fence. I want my cake and I want to eat it too. I want the world and I want. So some things you don't do. Verse 2. He continues. Not only in a negative sense, but in a positive sense. Right? And listen, second service, I want you to try it. I want you to put away everything that's ungodly in your life. The music, the movies, I just want you to try it. I want you, because listen, we grew up on it, but I want you to make a sacrifice for God. And I want you to say, God, listen, I know this stuff is not pleasing to you, but my pastor told me that if I seek first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness, that all these things going to be added to me. My pastor told me if I shun evil, my pastor told me if I put away the counsel, the ways, and the seed of the scornful, that I'm going to be blessed. So, God, I'm going to try you for a second. God, I'm going to give you a month. I'm going to give you the rest of this year, God. And I'm going to put this junk that ain't brought me nowhere. I'm going to put it away. And I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to try you, Lord. I want to try. And I want to, I'm giving you a challenge. I'm giving you a challenge. Why don't you try for a second? Just put it all on the side. And let's see what God going to do. I bet you God bless you. I bet you God bless you. I bet you he blesses you. And I'm not even a betting man no more. I bet you God will bless you. Why? Because his words say blessed is the man that don't do certain. How many want a blessing up in here? You see what I'm saying? We put away some things. Jesus says, no one has ever given up anything for me. Anything. And has not received a hundredfold in return. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. You've never given up anything for him. I can't even get to verse 2. Come on, verse 2 in the song. Come on. So these are things he said. He said, just stay away from that. And listen. This is our season. I'm trying to give you the keys. I'm trying to give you the keys. I'm trying to give you the keys. Here it is. Stay away from certain things. Amen. Secondly, but you got to do some things too. So you're going to get a level of blessing from staying away, but let's take it to another notch and give you more blessings. By what? You stay away from things, but his delight is in the what? The law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. So you pull yourself away from some things, but you push yourself towards some other things. All right? So the first part of being fruitful like Joseph, amen, you pull yourself from the world and the people, the things that you should be, but you got to turn yourself towards some things. He says, listen, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, the law of the Lord here in the Hebrew, amen, is the Torah, the Pentateuch, but also all the written word of God represents his general law, all right? Because in the New Testament, hallelujah, we have the laws of Christ, amen? The laws of the Spirit, amen? And so when he says delight in the law, you just pick up your Bible. This is the law of God. This is the word of God. So to be blessed and to be prosperous in everything I do, huh? I, number one, stay away from some things. But number two, Randy, I got to delight myself in this law. All right? Now, Pastor, what does that mean, delight? This word delight, a God, means to, hallelujah, turn your ear towards. It means to, hallelujah, bend your body towards. It means to lean into. All right? When God sees you leaning into his word, wanting to hear his word, instead of running away from his word. Hallelujah. When you delight in his law, guess what God's going to do? God's going to look. He's going to say, I got a blessing for you. I got a blessing for you. I got a blessing for you. Listen to me here. Let me give you some encouragement here. You see how y'all here this morning? You see, what you're doing this morning is leaning in to the word. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You're leaning into the word. And listen, I know we came to worship, but we came to sing. But most of y'all here, hallelujah, because you want a word. Anybody hear me up in here? Hallelujah. We got some that drove from Maryland for a word. They leaning in. Hallelujah. Look how far they leaning. They done lean in from Maryland for a word. We got some leaning in miles away from our own state for a word. Amen. You leaned in from your house, your comfortable bed to get dressed and come here. You leaned in. Why? You leaned in for a word. And God says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God says if you delight yourself in the Lord, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. As you lean in on his word and say, God, I'm going to inconvenience myself to come and get your word. God can't help but to bless you. I'm telling you. Blessed is the man. You see, when you delight yourself in his word, listen to me, man. Just by being here this morning, you're going to get yourself a blessing. Yeah. You're going to get yourself a blessing. And that's why you want to try to be here as often as you can. All right? You're blessing your week when you come and start your week off on a Sunday. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. You got to ask yourself, hallelujah, when Sunday roll around and you're saying, should I come to church or should I not come to church? You should ask yourself another question. Do I want my week to be blessed or do I want my week not to be blessed? Because that's where it's at. The psalmist says, blessed are they who dwell in your house, oh God. So every time you come here, God checks off a blessing. Okay, okay, all right, all right. Oh, I got a blessing in store. I'm going to bless them for coming here. You see, because hallelujah, he can't help to do it. When I delight myself in him, when I diligently see, he's going to reward. It's his word. He's got to bless me for going after him. All right? When I delight myself in his law. But you see, coming to church is not the only way to delight yourself in his law. All right? But when you're home by yourself and pastor not there, and Brian and the worship team not there, and you don't have the chairs and the lights and the cameras and all that, are you still delighting yourself in his law? Pastor, what you mean? You're not there. I don't have to be there for you to delight in his law. All right? All right? By now, you should have your own Bible. All right? And by now, you should know how to flip your own pages. What I'm saying is another way you could be blessed, not just blessing your week by coming to church. But when you open that book for yourself at home, you see, in the end of our Bible, in the book of Revelations, John wrote, blessed is he who readeth, amen, the words of this book. Now, it's something like that, I'm paraphrasing. But there's no coincidence that that's in the last book of the Bible, because I believe in my spirit that every time we personally open up our Bible to read it, whether we read a little psalm, whether we read in our memory verse, I believe that every time we open our Bible, we set ourselves up to have a blessed day. A blessed day. All right? So when we wake up, we should ask ourselves, you know, should I read my Bible? But we got to rephrase that question. It shouldn't be, should I read my Bible? No. It should be, do I want to be blessed today? All right? I'm telling you that Psalm 1 and 2 say, blessed is the man whose delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And to go deeper, and in his law that he meditate what? Day and night. It means every day I'm opening up that book. See, tomorrow morning, when you wake up, let me put something on your spirit. When you wake up, ask yourself, do I want to be blessed today? Do I want God to show up and show out in my life? Do I want God, amen, to give me that raise, that bonus? Do I want God to bless my marriage? Do I want God to allow them kids to act right? Do I want God to lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil? Do I want God to do all those things? And if your answer is yes, then you should open that book for just a few minutes. And what the devil do, the devil make it so hard to open a book. It's going to take us 5 minutes to read. And if you're a fast reader, maybe two. All right? But the devil in the flesh make it so hard. Don't he make it hard? Is it just me? It's like the cover of our Bible is 30 pounds, 40 pounds. Here we are. What is that? You know what that is? That's that devil trying to keep you from a blessing. That's that devil trying to keep you from a blessing. So when you wake up, you say, God, I want to be like Joseph. I want to be blessed. I want to be a tree planted by the rivers of water. I want to be a tree that no matter where I'm planted, I blossom. Why? Because I got my foot in the well. What's the well? I got my foot in the word of Almighty God. I got my foot in the well. And that nourishment is coming up. It's coming up. It's coming up. Hallelujah. And hallelujah, as the nourishment comes up, my canopy grows. And I'm producing fruit and prosperous in every area of my life. Amen. Listen to me good, man. Listen to me good. That's been the secret of your pastor's life, yeah. Not that somehow I'm smarter or somehow I'm better. No. I just learned how to open the book. I just learned how to open the book as often as I can and read it as often as I can. And you're going to be prosperous. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Listen, we got to move. Oh God, I done got carried away. Point number two, the archers. The archers. Now, I never say the arches, because some of y'all going to think of McDonald's. I ain't talking about McDonald's up in here. The archers. In the next verse, in chapter 49 of Genesis, this is important for you. So, you got to pay attention. He says in 23, the archers have sorely grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. All right? Joseph was fruitful. He was successful in everything, very prosperous, very talented. Amen? But they had some people that didn't like Joseph. They had some people, amen, that hated his prosperity. They had some people that hated the blessing of God upon his life. Now, the blessing is for everybody. Anybody can get it. I just gave you the formula. Get in the word, hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Hey, God, just get in the word, hallelujah, and God's going to bless you. Huh? God's going to bless you. Huh? Now, watch this. Watch this. You got some people that won't do what they have to do to be blessed, and they're going to hate the ones that are blessed. All right? I'm giving you the keys to be like Joseph, but I want to prepare you that when you are blessed, somebody not going to like you. The Bible right here calls them the archers. The archers. We call them the haters. All right? We call them the haters. Right? And when you bless, you're going to have people that hate you. Now, an archer, from a military perspective, is someone who shoots at you from afar. Right? It's more like a sniper-like position. They make sure they cover themselves in a way to where you can't see them, put themselves up somewhere, and they'll shoot at you, but you don't know you're being shot at. And when they hit you, hey, God, you won't know where it come from. And they so far away, you don't know who it is. An archer is not somebody that's going to run up in your face and try to handle you man to man or woman to woman. But an archer is somebody that's trying to wound you from a distance, from the cover of safe, from the safety of cover. Amen. So you'll never know it's them. So these archers will hit you, hallelujah, and wound you, and then come try to play like your friend. Oh, you all right? What happened? I see you got a bobo. What? And you don't even know that's the one that's an archer. Huh? An archer. You see, in Joseph's life, Joseph thought his brothers loved him. But they really hated him. In your life, when you bless, amen, and you will be blessed. It's just our season. I need to prepare you that not everybody around you going to want you to be blessed. All right? All right? I'm talking about friends. Okay? And remember, we coined a word, hallelujah, frenemy. Frenemy. It's a friend enemy. Y'all think y'all cool, but wait till you get blessed. Right? Some of them going to be archers, slandering you, gossiping you, talking about you from a distance. From a distance, putting salt on your game, all right? Not only friends, guess what? Like in Joseph's case, even family. Even family, all right? So if a friend enemy is a frenemy, a family enemy is a family. All right, but I got another one. Not just your friends and your family, even in your church. Oh, yeah, everybody not saving here. Even in your church. And some may be saved, but church folk are funny, yeah. They saved, but they're not delivered. And they're going to be with you while you go through tough times. They're going to pray for you and everything. But the biggest test of a believer is this. When the person I'm praying for, when they're going through tough times, will I feel the same way about them when they come out and they get a blessing that I don't have just yet? All right? Because sometimes God will do it to test you. That girl coming here walking, and here you are, you dropping in the church, and you praying for her. Well, what happens when God bless her and she pull up in a car better than you? What you going to do then? Huh? You better say praise the Lord and rejoice with those who rejoice. But some of them, Miss Cal, some of them become church enemies. She pull up in that big thing and you're like, oh, look at her, think she all that now. Look at her. Somebody said, the archers. You got to watch them. Got to watch them. You see, got to watch them. It's the blessed life. Hallelujah. Because when you're blessed, some people, hey, God, they're not going to like it. Now, the word archer is made plural. The archers. And so in Joseph's case, it wasn't just one. It was a few of them. And in your life, hallelujah, normally you're not just going to have one hater. You're going to have a bunch of them. Now, what God do for you, amen, God will allow your haters to come together. They're going to come together. He do that. There's an old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And when one person don't like you, they get the gist that another person going to like you, amen. And what happens is they begin to hang together. All right? They begin to hang together. But God do that. And so you pass, and amen, and you see them all together, and you're like, man, what they all just sitting over there at McDonald's talking about me. All of my archers under the golden arches, and they talking about me. And God try. What in the world are they all doing right now? All right? And we get discouraged when we see our archers together confederate against us. But God don't want us to be discouraged. When they come together, it's God that's doing it. All right? They come together, number one, because God want to show you who for you and who against you. All right? That's how it's going to happen. That's how it's going to happen. Because all of a sudden, you see, you're going to know that one of them hates you. Oh, I know she hates me. Oh, yeah. She slashed my tires the other day. All right, I know she hates me. All right? But all of a sudden, somebody you thought was your friend going to start congregating with the one you know hates you. And you're going to say, oh, man, what's going on? How she going to be chilling with her and she knows she hates me? You want to know how? Because she hates you too. Because he hates you too. And they come together confederate because God want to show you. He wants you to see who for you and who against you. Oh, man. See, when they sold Joseph out, Joseph knew, he knew them all because they was confederate. The archers, they all shot at him. All right? The second reason why God allowed them to come together is even better than the first. Huh? You see, God tells us, amen, that he's going to do something with our enemies. Huh? He tells us he's going to make our enemies our footstool. He tells us, I'm going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He said, oh, God, he's just coming out on our enemies. He said, they're going to come in to attack you one way, but when I'm finished with them, they're going to scatter seven ways. God, he tell us about our enemies. He said, yeah, they might form a weapon, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every one of them tongues that rise up against you shall be condemned. Hallelujah. God says, yeah. He said, they're going to try to come against you. Hey, God, but when the enemy come in like a flood, the Lord going to lift up a standard against him. I'm telling you here, God talk about our enemies. He talk about them, y'all. He talk about them. He say he going to have them in derision before it's over with. Got to allow all your enemies to come in one place and to confederate against you. Amen. So when he decides to deal with them, he ain't got to go looking for them. He going to pile them up all in one place so he can make one quick work and take care of business. Miss Cherie, they all gathered in an ant pile. God going to say, I got the raid right here. I'm about to spray them all up. I'm about to fumigate them. So when we see them together, don't be discouraged. When we have archers, don't worry about a thing. Amen. It's a sign that the blessing of the Most High is upon you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Point number three, made strong. And this is the good news. You're going to have haters. You're going to be blessed like Joseph. You're going to have haters. They're going to shoot at you. But God going to make you strong. God going to make you strong. All right? This is a part of the blessed life. He's going to make you strong. Right? In verse 24, he tells us about Joseph. They shot at him. They grieved him. They hated him. But his bow abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. You see, even in spite of Joseph's brothers, Potiphar's wife, and everything that he encountered, the Bible says he abode in strength, that God made him strong. Matthew Henry says that Joseph's faith did not fail. He never left God, and he never left his beliefs. Matthew Henry says he kept his ground. No matter how the waves came in, he stood still against them. Matthew Henry says, amen, no matter what enemy was on the other side, Joseph always came out the victor and the conqueror, amen, because he never turned his back, he never ran, he never quit, and he never gave up. Listen, when I look at my Bible, amen, God rarely wants us, hallelujah, Mr. Seymour, to take ground. He rarely wants us to take ground. It's not a bad thing to take ground in your walk and take ground. But most of the time in my Bible, God tells us not to take ground. He's more concerned with us standing on the ground that he's already taken. All right? That's God's rationale. You see, because the battle is already won at the cross of Calvary. And victory is already ours through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what God primarily wants with his people is this. Hallelujah. Not so much that you take ground from the devil, because I've already taken it all from him. I've taken the keys of death, amen. I've taken the teeth out of his mouth, amen. I've defeated him already. But what God is most concerned with is that you stand the ground that God has won for you. That you don't let the devil back you up. That you don't let the devil turn you and make you retreat. Our Bible says that, hallelujah, you should stand. Now, we're going to meet all kind of opposition in this life. There's going to be fighting within and fighting without. There's going to be tidal waves of stuff coming at us, clouds and wind and hail and rain, amen. But like the proverbial house that's built upon the rock, we got to just stand, amen. It's not so much that we beat what's coming at us, but it's that we outlast what's coming at us. It's that we stand, hallelujah, anchored in the Lord. You see, you got to understand, amen, the Christian life is more of an endurance type of a thing. The race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but to those who endure. So in your marriage, going to be some trials. But what you got to do? Stand. With your children, going to be some ups and downs. But what you got to do? Stand. In your finances, going to be some ebbs and flows. But what you got to do? Stand. It's not about you overcoming, because he's already overcome. You just got to stand and stand there, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Somebody feeling me up in here. All right? So we just stand. The old folk used to say, trouble don't last always. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. You got to learn how to talk to your trouble. Trouble, hallelujah, you ain't going to last too much longer. And when you're done, I'll still be here standing in the strength of the Lord. I'm going to outlast you, trouble. See, we want to run and turn our back too fast. Want to run out and turn out. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't do that. No, the pain ain't going to last always. The sickness ain't going to last always. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning light. You mess around there and turn and give up, and your blessing was just coming around the corner. We don't give up. We don't quit. We're not made of that material. We're made of a different fabric. Hallelujah. The Bible say he abode in strength. That's what Joseph did. It wasn't that he was strong enough. He just stayed in the strength that God had for him. And he just waited. He waited through slavery. He waited through prison. He waited through being accused and betrayed of everything that he just waited. He just waited, and he kept abiding. He kept doing what he was supposed to do. I'm here to tell you, just wait it out. Come on, look at your neighbor. Say, wait it out. Wait it out. We just got to stand. We just got to stand. In life, we run into rough patches. We run into rough patches. Seems like sometimes you can't talk to your husband without it being an argument. How you like the grits, honey? What grits? What you talking about the grits? This don't look like grits. This ain't no grits. Sometimes seems like you can't talk to your wife without an argument. Honey, you look good today. What you mean today? Don't I look good every day? What about yesterday? And sometimes we get mad at them, but we don't understand that it's just a season. It's just a season. It's just a season. It's just a season. Come on, tell somebody it's just a season. And you got to learn how to stand. I learned how to stand. What the devil do, he magnify our bad days. He magnify our bad days. And here we are thinking, amen, with hasty generalizations, that we always going through trouble. But the old songwriter says, I know my good days. They outweigh my bad days. And at the end of the day, I won't complain. Because God's been good to me, he said. But in this old world, could ever, oh God, y'all. You got to just stand. Listen, let's look at Ephesians 6. Come on. Let's look at, y'all don't believe me. Y'all don't believe me. Look at Ephesians 6. In Ephesians 6, amen, we're just talking about it. Now, you see, and I love Ephesians 6 because Ephesians 6 is going to tell us who the real problem is. See, I just talked about the archers, the haters of you, all right? But you got to understand that your haters are only working for the capital H hater, the main hater, the hater of God and the hater of everything that's good in the universe, who's Satan and the devil. That's why when people get under your skin, amen, hallelujah, don't get mad and upset at them, because they just playing puppet for the puppet master, who's the devil, Apollyon, Abaddon, Lucifer, the enemy of our God and the enemy of our soul. That's who it is. In Ephesians 6 and 12, he tells us, hallelujah, he said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The trouble that we're going through, the trouble that people trying to put on us, it's not even them. It's the devil who operating behind the scenes. He's the ultimate archer, sniper, firing from a place of safety, while we blaming everybody else and don't see that it's him. Here we all saying it's our wife, it's our kids, it's my boss, it's my neighbor, it's this one, it's that one, it's pastor, it's very lady, hallelujah, and that devil laughing all the way to the bank. He the main archer. He's the main archer. If you don't believe me, Ephesians 6 and around, hallelujah, verse, hallelujah, 16, talk about, hallelujah, we have to put that shield of faith on to be able to quench what? The fiery darts of the wicked one. He's an archer, and he's shooting, and he's shooting, and he's shooting, trying to put it on us. But God got a word for us in Ephesians 6. If we go back to verse, as though it were 11, God says, I know he's trying to put it on you. I know you're going through some rough times. He says, but listen, we're going to make it through this. And I'm going to give you the equipment to help you make it through. God tells us, he says, put on the whole armor of God. All right? Why? That you may be able to stand against all the wiles, the tricks, the stratagems of the wicked one, the devil. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we got to do. You see, if we have that armor on, we're going to be able to stand up against him. All right? Now watch this now. It's not your armor. It's the armor of God. Oh, have mercy. Isn't that something? If you put this on, the devil going to come by you, and he's going to mistake you for somebody. He's going to back up. He's going to say, I've seen that armor before. I saw that sword before. Ooh, that's the same sword that died at Calvary and decapitated my kingdom. I saw that breastplate before. That's the righteousness, hey, God, that took down the law. Took down. Oh, I done seen that before. All right? Yeah. Because the Bible says, hey, God, that he put his own armor on and came down and took care of business so we could be saved. Listen to him. And he left that armor for us. He left that armor so we can be able to stand. Look at the next verse. Come on. Y'all not sleeping, huh? Hallelujah. Look at verse 12. We went through that one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to the next one. Hey, God. He said, wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Once again. Hallelujah. You ain't got to take no ground. Just stand. Just stand. Withstand in the evil day. Isn't that something? The evil day. The evil day. What's a day? A day is a limited amount of time. A day is a limited amount of time that passes. Oh, God. Every day not going to be evil, but you're going to have some evil day. Oh, God. But in those days, you just got to, hey, God, just got to stand. And having done all to stand, watch what he say again in verse 14. Guess what he's going to say? Stand. Stand, therefore, with your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now what he's going to do is he's going to tell us about the armor of God. Now, way back in the day, I taught about the armor of God, and I went deep into it. Hey, God, I'm talking about I took a Sunday for every single piece of this armor. I'll run through it right quick for you, all right? Because the armor, just like you get in the Word every day, you got to put on this armor every day. And when you put on this armor every day, devil, like MC Hammer, ain't going to be able to touch you. Oh, God, devil, you can't touch this. Why? Because I got on the belt of truth. What's the belt of truth? The Roman armor, hallelujah, he had a belt when he put it on his armor. But the belt wasn't just out like our little belt. It was a belt that was attached to some leather straps and some armor kind of plated metal, amen, to protect the soldier from here to here. All right? It's the belt of truth. Pastor, what is it? Believer, in your life, you got to release your old ways of lying, exaggerating, saying half-truths, quarter-truths, one-third truths, white lies, black lies, green lies, any other thing but the truth. Listen, exaggeration. When we leave our house and say, God, I am going to glorify you with my mouth, and I'm not going to be lying out there, that's what we call the belt of truth. See, every time we tell a lie, we leave a part of our body unarmored. You with me so far? See, if you tell the truth, that's a place the devil can't attack you. Nobody can come up and tell you, you said that. I am, man, back up. Oh, no, I said what I said. I mean what I said. You know what I'm saying? It's true. All right? What else? Breastplate of righteousness. The soldier, I done hit my mic too hard. The soldier wouldn't leave the house without what was called a breastplate. Usually made out of some kind of metal. It was so important because it protected all the vitals. What's under the breastplate? The heart, the lungs, the kidneys, hallelujah, the liver, all those things that if the soldier took a hit in any of those vital areas, life was over. In the spirit, we have a breastplate. That breastplate is righteousness. Now watch this. Watch this. The belt of truth is watching what we say. The breastplate of righteousness is watching what we do. Oh, God, I'm trying to help you. When you leave the house in the morning, you're going to read your word, you're going to say, Lord, I'm going to try my best to tell the truth. But you put on another thing. You put on righteousness and you say, God, I'm going to try my best to do right. And as long as I do right and tell the truth, I'm protected from the enemy's attacks. The Bible in John tells us that if we keep ourselves in the way, that the wicked one cannot touch us. You see, you think doing right is only for God. Doing right is for you too. When you do wrong, you give access to vital areas of your spirit to be attacked. Let's move on. Y'all following me right here? I'm trying to tell you, man, listen, your archers are there, but God can make you strong if you stand and put on his armor. All right? A lot of times we're having problems in life, and we don't know why how the devil getting in. When you see him coming in like that and his problems, check your armor. Have I lied about something? Am I not doing something right here? Let's move on. Look. Come on, check your armor. Come on, tell your neighbor, check your armor. All right? Look what he said in 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Remember, the belt of truth only covered up probably to the knees. But there was another armor that the soldier would wear. He would have some shoes on. And the shoes would plant him in the soil so that he could handle his business. But the leather straps would run all the way up to the knee part where, as though it were, the belt stopped so he could be covered everywhere. All right? What's the shoes of the gospel, Pastor? The shoes of the gospel is this. When you walk out your house, you bent on telling the truth, you want to live right, but you are keen to people around you who are lost and don't know the Lord. And you are, if we look at that verse 15, come on, sound booth, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are prepared when you leave the house with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're ready to tell somebody about the cross of Calvary's hill. Hallelujah. Sound booth, verse 15, thank you, hallelujah. The preparation of the gospel. Watch this. Old preachers used to tell me all the time, the devil will never put his hands on something that's hot. He can't do it. Can't do it. If you on fire for God, he's not going to be able to touch you. If you have in your mind, I'm witnessing, I'm serving, I'm inviting people to church, I'm working for the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, the devil ain't going to be able to touch you. If he touch you, he's going to say, ay, ay, ay. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, ay, ay, ay. That's what he's going to say. Oh, yeah, he's going to send that woman to you to try to tempt you. He's going to send that little man with the muscles to you. Huh? But you so, listen. They thinking you trying to be, hallelujah, perverted and hot in the world. I'm not hot in the world. I'm hot for God. And so when you send them little people at me, hallelujah, the little men, the little women, guess what they going to get? They going to get the gospel. You hear what I'm saying? They going to walk up on you, Dunny. They going to say, hey, boo, what's your number? And Dunny, you tell them, John 3:16. Romans 3:23. And 6:26. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because you're on fire for the Lord. And you're ready to witness at the drop of a dime, Trey. Oh, yeah, Trey, they're going to come holler at you. Yeah, Trey. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And what you got to do? You got to put that gospel on. You got to be ready for it. See, because if your mind is on the Lord's work, your mind won't be on the devil's work. I'm telling you here. Hey, 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 hey. We got to get back to it. So I'm armored up. I got my righteousness on. I'm going to try to live right. I got my truth on. I'm going to try to keep my word. I got my shoes on. I'm ready to go for the Lord and get a gospel. What's next? Should be above all. Verse 16. Somebody say above all. Taking the shield of faith wherewith we able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. This right here is the most important part of the armor. He say above all. Meaning you could leave every single one of the other ones home. But like they used to say them credit cards, that shield, you better not leave home without it.